And where I can say that I've literally been able to touch every one of the children that you've seen today, to laugh with them, those of you that are the ones supporting, you've been that angel. You've been the one that God's used just to come alongside and to change that child's life. And for that, again, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you again. It's a great honor for us today to have a good friend of mine here with us today, Pastor Bobby Bechtel. Bobby has served in Kenya for the last 10 years, given us incredible insights just into being able to accomplish more, do better at what it is that we have purpose to be able to do over there, and to have him kind of give us the behind the scenes of My Gift for Jesus and what it actually accomplishes, I can think of no better way to start. So would you join me in giving Pastor Bobby just a warm Fox River welcome today for being with us?
Thank you, Pastor Bobby. Thank you so much. It's a great joy for me to stand here. I'm glad that you were able to see that little DVD. It's something my wife just prepared in our house in Kenya, and I find joy and I'm inspired every time I see it because the simple fact that I know those kids, I know their names, I've been in their little mud houses, I've seen them before they entered into the school, I've seen them after, they've been in the school for a few years, and there's one common denominator that's a huge change, and it's what I wanted to talk to you about this morning, and that is the idea of hope. Hope. If I was to ask you to finish this sentence, how would you finish it? Hope is. Hope is. How would you describe to someone what hope means to you? How would you describe to someone who is in desperate need of hope what hope really means? How would you describe to a child living in a mud hut, in a village, out in the middle of nowhere, in Africa, what hope is? Sometimes hope is something that we need desperately, but we don't even understand how to describe it to ourselves, let alone someone else. And 10 years ago, Lisa and I moved to Mombasa, Kenya. And we got there, and I remember the first few days, I wanted to figure out what was going on in town and kind of where things were located. This is where we were going to live. And I remember walking through the streets of Mombasa, and everywhere I walked, I felt like there was something wrong. There was something strange. There was something that was missing. There was something that needed to, there was some need that needed to be met. And I remember as I walked through, I was trying to figure out what it was, and I thought, well, maybe it was the long lines of people who were waiting outside of Duka stores, and they were just waiting there, wanting to buy something because there was a possibility that they may have what they needed. And they would stand in line for up to an hour just to go in and ask for a certain item that they wanted, because they might be able to get it today. So I thought maybe that's what it was. I thought it might have been just the architecture that was around the town, where you saw these modern buildings sitting next to an ancient mosque or an ancient church that was built in the 1700s. I thought maybe it was the ornate wooden doors that were on the front of many of the buildings that were carved in wood with Arabic symbols and Arabic letters that I did not understand. And I thought, well, maybe that's what it was. But as I walked, I realized the thing that was bothering me, the thing that was drawing my attention, the thing that was making me feel there was a need that needed to be met was the eyes of the people themselves. See, I was living in a town where women were not supposed to talk to men. And so as I was walking down the street, a woman would come walking towards me, and she would kind of catch my eye for just a minute, and then she'd look down, and she'd kind of walk around me. I was living in a town where all the men were very suspicious of me because I was an outsider, and I was an American. And so they were looking at me, trying to figure out, what are you doing here? Why are you living here? What do you want from us? And they were also, I felt that there was this oppression upon them, and as I talked to them and tried to figure out what was going on, I realized that for many of them, they were living under poverty. They were living under a religion that they practiced that was very oppressive to them. As I spoke to them about their God, I realized that their concept of the God that they worshipped was a God who did not love them, a God who really only who only promised them punishment even in the afterlife. And I said, well, how can you have a good afterlife? How can you go into the afterlife and be joyful and be fun? And they said, well, there's two ways. We can live a perfect life, and then God will show us mercy. Or we can die defending His name in a war, and we will be shown mercy and rewards. And I realized this is something that was inside of them. Their eyes were hollow. There was no joy. It was being all smothered out of them because they did not have hope. They did not have hope. Because as I talked to them further, I realized that every single one of them did not want to go to war. They didn't want to go to war. They wanted peace. And every single one of them would very openly admit to me, I am not perfect. I cannot be perfect. So the only thing I get to look forward to is going and meeting my God and being punished for this life that I have lived. No hope. No hope. So Lisa and I decided that we needed to be agents of hope. We needed to come into that place and show them hope. Because hope is as necessary to the soul as the air we breathe. Hope is as necessary to the soul as the air we breathe. And hope, in its greatest form, can only be found in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only hope of the world. And so as we were standing there in Mombasa and trying to decide what we needed to do, we knew that Jesus Christ was that hope that we needed to give. We need to talk about God, a God who loved them, a God who sent their Son to die for them, a God who thought about them daily and thought about the things they were going through and wanted to be a help, wanted to be an aid, wanted to give them hope. I soon discovered that hope is needed everywhere. Hope is needed in Kenya, Africa, and hope is also needed in Waukesha, Wisconsin. There we live in a world that is slowly losing hope. And Jesus Christ is that hope. God is offering that hope. He's reaching out His hand and says, I want to give hope to you. No matter what you are going through, no matter what the situation is, God is standing, He's giving hope for those who have gone into debt. God is standing giving hope to those that are between jobs and do not know where their next paycheck is coming from. God is giving hope to blended families that are trying to make it work. God is giving hope to the overwhelmed student who is studying and studying hard and just not seeming to achieve the grades that they want to achieve. God is standing and offering hope to all of us who have been betrayed by a friend, by a family member, by a spouse, and more. God is offering hope to those that have wandered away from home and need to come back, because home is Jesus. Home is God. This is the God that we serve, a God of hope. And He wants all of us here to have hope for our own lives and have that hope be so great that there's just an overabundance of it and we can give it to other people. We can serve other people because of the hope that's inside of us. Now, we have lived there for 10 years, and I'd love to tell you that every single day has been a good day, but it hasn't. There have been days that haven't been good. There have been days where we felt like we didn't have hope, and so it was hard to share that with somebody else. And during those times, God has brought a verse into our lives, and I wanted to read that to you. It's found in Psalms chapter 18, and in the Bible in the pew, it's page 855. But in Psalms chapter 18, David is writing these words. Now, David was a great king of Israel, but this is before he became king. This is David when he was running, when he was hiding in caves, because the king of Israel, King Saul, was searching out to try and kill David. And so as David is running for his very lives, he's living in the wilderness, he's living in very bad situations. He could have been depressed, he could have been very angry with his God, but he sat and decided to pen the words that I'm going to read to you from Psalms chapter 18, starting in verse 27. He said, "You save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are halty. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in Him." I love those last few words. He shields all who take refuge in Him. We need to turn to God. People around the world need to turn to God. This scripture is a scripture of hope because it tells us just a few things. It tells us that God will save the humble. It tells us that God will keep our lamp burning. It tells us that God will turn our darkness into light. It tells us that God will help us advance against an enemy that is coming against us hard and furious. It tells us that God will help us climb a wall that is a barrier between us and the very life that God intended for us to live. And it tells us that God will shield me. God will shield you if you take refuge in Him. See, hope waits for all of us. God's hope is both present today, and it will be present tomorrow and all throughout the week. God's hope is available in our dark days and in our bright days. It is available in our gray days. It is available in our sunny days. Hope waits for you, and hope waits for the world, because God said in His Bible, "I love the world." When He said that, He means, "I love people. And I want people to have good things. And I want people to have an abundant life. I want people to have hope. Even when the light goes out. Even when they're standing in darkness. I want them to have the hope of me. The hope of Jesus." A few years ago, I came across a statement that was called the theology of hope. The theology of hope. And I believe the theology of hope is presented well in the world today, especially through Fox River Christian Church. I believe and I know for a fact that Fox River is in the business of bringing hope, not only to Waukesha, but to people around the world, especially where I live in Kenya. And why does Fox River think it's important to be in the business of hope? And the answer is very, very simple. People need God to have hope. People need God to have hope. So you can't make yourself hope. It is a gift from God. Hope is a gift given to us by a God who loves us and a God who wants us to hope for better things, wants us to hope for a better life. See, hope from God gets us past bitterness. Hope from God gets us through depression. Hope from God gets us to the new life as we let go of the old life. When pain turns dark, the hope of Jesus just turns on a light, unless it's hope. So there's a great need for hope today all around the world. I was reading an article last week, and in the article it said there was a scientific study done, and it found that most children laugh 300 times a day, 300 times. But adults only laugh 15 times a day. And I thought, wow, that's a big difference, 300 to 15. I said, why? Why would that happen? And as I continue reading, I agreed with what the article said, and that was that stress comes onto the adult. Reality comes onto the adult. The adult has experienced problems. The adult has to take the checkbook or look online and pay those bills at the end of the month and try and figure out if it's actually going to work out. Reality hits in. We lose joy. We can lose hope. And this isn't how God intended for us to be. God wants us to be people of hope. I remember when we went to the village of Bomani for the very first time, Fox River had contacted us and said they wanted to be involved in a ministry in Kenya. They wanted to build a school. And I was working with a pastor, a Kenyan pastor named Abraham. And Abraham said he wanted to go to Bomani. I didn't know where Bomani was, but we went out there and we drove out to this little village. Felt like we were in the middle of nowhere. Everything is dirt. Everything is mud, houses. And I remember looking at the children that were in that village, and many of them would run away from me when they saw me. But these children were children without joy. These were children without hope. These were children that did not smile, did not laugh, did not play. I didn't see any toys. I didn't see anything that would even resemble the life of a child in this village. And so I was thinking, I need to research what is really going on or what has gone on in this village. And as I researched, several things came up to my mind that I remember. But the most striking thing that I remembered from that research was just 40 years ago in the village of Bomani, the African traditional religion required that parents sacrifice their own children. just 40 years ago? Is this a place that child wants to grow up? Is this a place that makes a child feel hopeful or joyful or enjoy life when you live with the idea, I might be chosen? I might be chosen. So I remember going to Pastor Abraham and saying to him, Pastor Abraham, are you sure you want to go here? This is going to be a dark place. It's dark spiritually already. I don't think they're going to like your message. I don't think they're going to like what we're doing here. And I'll never forget what he said to me. He said, God wants us to go where hope is needed most. And this is where it's needed most. And I remember sitting down and looking at all the aspects of what we were going to try and accomplish there, and talking to this church and talking about what was needed to go on there. And if you knew me personally, I sometimes jokingly call myself the prophet of doom, because I'm one of those people that when I see a glass, I think it's half empty, not half full. And when I'm trying to work through any kind of scenario, any kind of problem, making a plan for anything, I always go to the worst case. This is the worst case. This is really what's going to happen. And God has given me a beautiful wife who's very positive, and she pulls me along sometimes to be more positive. But as I was looking at all the things that were setting up against us doing a school in this place where there was absolutely no hope, where there was deep poverty, where there were people literally starving, I just thought, this is not going to work. This is something that's impossible. And all of a sudden, a moment of impossible opportunity was put before me by God. It was a moment of impossible opportunity. All I saw was the impossible. And I remember saying to God, God, we don't have enough money, we don't have land, we don't have enough talented people. This is impossible. And God saying, Bobby, I'm glad that you know that. Because now I can work. Now I can do something. All I want you to do is take a step of faith. All I want you to do is say, you know what? I can't do this, but God can do this. And he said, I'm going to use my amazing power and my great knowledge and my infinite resources. And we're going to do something in Bomani, Kenya. And it's going to be so great that everybody's going to know only God could do this. Only God could do it. See, the fact is, God wants us to grab moments of impossible opportunity and to live defiantly against the odds. He wants us to look at the odds, look at the bad things, look at the worst case scenario and say, you know what? I know all that. And I understand that could be a possibility. But I serve a great God. And with God with me, the odds are for me, not against me. Even though it feels that way. Because God wants us to be people of hope. And I tell you today, the life of following after God is an adventure. It's an adventure. It's not a drudgery. It's an adventure. 12 years ago, when I decided to be a missionary, I was working here in the United States as a librarian. Okay? A librarian. I had a very stress-free job. I made my living reading books. And I lived many adventures as a librarian reading books. I read many, many books that were written by people who had gone to Africa and gone to South America and gone to different places and lived phenomenal lives. And I would live through those books and I would live through those experiences. And all of a sudden, God's coming to me as a young man, and he's saying to me, Bobby, I don't want you just to read about these adventures and experience them that way. I want you to experience them in real life, in real time. And I remember when that happened to me, I was standing there and I was thinking to myself, of all the uncertainty, of all the doubt, of all the fear, and even the pain of leaving my family and going to some foreign place where I didn't know anything about it, really. But God was saying, here's the adventure. Come join me. This is what I'm asking you to do. It's something great. It's something out of the ordinary. It's something extraordinary. It's not something everybody's going to do, Bobby. Come with me. Set aside your fears. Set aside your doubts. Come and see what we can experience together as you trust me as your God. See, I think we need to settle for nothing less than following God in this life. So I came to the realization I couldn't settle for less. I couldn't settle for the ordinary. I had to do what God wanted me to do. And I had to follow Him. And see where that led. See, this month, Fox River is asking its family, its church family, to take and grab onto God's moment of impossible opportunity. It seems impossible what has already been accomplished and what is wanting to be accomplished just in Kenya alone. Now, I could just give you some facts about Kenya. Families in Kenya live on less than $1 a day. One. Families in Kenya have an average of 6 children in each family. And they usually, all 8 of them usually live in, if they're in a rural village, they live in a mud house that is probably the size of many people's here's walk-in closet. All right? 8 people in a room. Children in rural Kenya survive on less than 1 full meal a day. Children in rural Kenya have a very difficult time getting an education because they cannot get into the overcrowded free government schools and they cannot pay the school fees at the private institutions. Children in rural Kenya die every day of preventable disease. Every day. And I'm not just standing here telling you some statistics that I read in a book, that I saw in a paper. The reason I'm telling you these things is because I have lived it. I have been there. I have experienced their life in a very small way. I'm the person that you've heard about maybe who has a woman who is dying of AIDS come to him and hand me her child, her baby, and put it in my hands and say, would you take care of my child? Because I don't know if I'm going to be here in a month. The saddest thing that Lisa and I have had to do over the 10-year period is attend funerals and do many funerals. And we have buried more children than we have adults in the last 10 years. And many of them have died because they had malaria, because they had pneumonia, because they had the flu. All things that could have been taken care of. But there was no medicine available. No one knew what to do to help them. And if I stopped talking right now, we'd all be depressed. We'd leave church depressed. But I'm not going to start talking. I'll stop talking because we're at Fox River Christian Church. All right? Because Fox River Christian Church has already caught the vision about what they can do to help the impossible become possible because they serve a God of the impossible. And so you've already grabbed onto this. This concept has already taken root in this church, and it's getting deeper and deeper every single year as you reach out and try and touch and change the lives of people all around the world and give them the hope of Jesus Christ and give them the hope of a future. The children, I think, are the best thing that Fox River does that I get to take a part of is being with these children. Several years ago at the Bomani School, we started something called Dream Chapel. And I just want to tell you about Dream Chapel because it's fun. The first year we did it, we walked in and I had all the student body come in. They were 3-year-olds all the way up to, at that time there was only 3rd graders, all the way to 3rd grade. And I said to them, I want you to tell me your dreams. What are your dreams? Now, being that they're not Americans, they just sat and stared at me. That was a very American statement to say, what are your dreams? They were trying to figure out what they dreamed last night. And I had to explain to them, no, I'm asking you, what do you want to do when you become an adult? How is God speaking to you? What is God saying to you? And it was the first year we had ever done this. And as I had to sit there and I had to kind of get them involved and try and call on them. And I remember a little girl raised her hand and she said she wanted to be a mother. And I said, that's good. A little boy raised his hand. He said he wanted to be a farmer. I said, that's good. Another little boy raised his hand. He was very ambitious. He said, I want to be a football player. And that's soccer. But he wanted to be a football player. And then we proceeded to go through the crowd. Every girl in the room said she wanted to be a mother. Every boy said he either wanted to be a farmer or a football player. And I thought that was strange, even though I shouldn't have thought it was strange, because this is the only thing they knew. These were children that had grown up in this village. They had never seen a paved road. They had never seen a television. They had never seen a multi-story building. They had never rode in a motor vehicle. And I was asking them to dream. And so my wife and I, we said we have to do something. We have to start talking to them about God and how God has a big dream for their life. And God wants them to do something great and extraordinary. And they need to start thinking big. And they need to start thinking outside of the village. And so we decided we were going to take our choir to a competition in the big town of Mombasa. So we brought a big bus and loaded 40 of these kids that had never been outside of the village. They had never been inside a bus before. We put them in there and took them to town. And I tell you, you could have heard all sorts of stuff. And we went out of their village, off that dirt road, onto the very first tarmac paved road they had ever been on. And they were all excited. We're going to town. But going to town changed them, because all of a sudden they realized there's a world out there. There's a world of opportunities out there. This year in June, as we were doing Dream Chapel, I was so excited to go this year. And we're sitting there, and I said, what are your dreams? What is God saying to you? What is the thing you want to do to help this world, to help your community, to be, make this a better place? And all of a sudden, a hand went up and said, I want to be a doctor. And you know why that hand went up and said, I want to be a doctor? Because Fox River Christian Church sent a medical team with doctors. They saw a doctor. They know what a doctor does now. Another hand went up and said, I want to be a nurse. Why? Because Fox River sent a medical team over. Another little boy raised his hand, and God bless him, he raised his hand. He said, I want to be a preacher. You know why? Because Pastor Guy has come to visit us and inspired him to be a preacher. My favorite one was a little girl who was 8 years old, and she raised her hand, and she said to me, I want to be a pilot. And I said, God bless you. Because this little girl has never been to an airport, has never sat in a plane. All she sees is them flying way up in the sky over her little village, over her little house. And now God has inspired her to say, you know, not only do I want to sit in a plane, not only do I want to go on a plane, but I want to be the person flying that plane to wherever it goes, to the great adventure that God has for me. And all of these things are possible because Fox River decided several years ago, I want to make a difference in lives of people, of children and families and a community in Kenya, Africa. So what are we asking you to do today? We're asking you to be a hope fulfiller. To be a hope fulfiller. To give hope to children, to help their dreams come true. A hope fulfiller. So you as an individual, as a family, can do many things this year. You can go on vacation, you can buy a new house, you can buy a car, you can buy a new pair of boots this winter. You can do a lot of stuff this year. But you can also fulfill somebody's dream this year. You can help to fulfill a missionary's dream to build a school or a clinic or a church. Get the hope out there. Get Jesus' name out there. You can help fulfill a Kenyan child's dream of finishing school and becoming a pilot, becoming a nurse, becoming a doctor, becoming a preacher, becoming a teacher, something they've never thought they could do. You can help even fulfill Jesus' dream. Did you know Jesus had a dream? You can help fulfill Jesus' dream of having his message of hope, his message of love, preach to every kindred, every tribe, every place around the world that needs hope, that needs God. Today, to try and help inspire you with what you can do, in your program, we put two letters from the children in Bomani, two thank you letters, two letters that they have handwritten themselves to you as a church. And some of them put little hearts, and they said, I love Fox River on them, because they do love Fox River. When you come to visit, they prepare for a whole year for Fox River Church to come. They learn special songs. They learn special things to do because they love this church. Why? Because this church has given them hope. There's more than just the two letters you got in your program. There's more letters in other people's program, so maybe you want to switch around and read all of them to get some inspiration, to know that what I am doing makes a difference. What I'm willing to do in 2013 will make a difference in 70 more children's lives. See, the starting point is to grab the impossible opportunity to help by committing to give towards the gift for Jesus offering and by choosing to sponsor a child this year. This is the opportunity. God's saying, do you want to be an agent of hope? Do you want to help someone? Do you want to let them have a big dream? Do you want to help them fulfill that dream in some way? This is the opportunity to do something that seems impossible, but God makes it possible. By doing these simple things, giving towards the gift for Jesus offering and sponsoring a child this year, you are bringing hope. And the whole aim is partnership. The whole aim is for all of us in this whole church to work together to see the hope of God reign all over the world. To not just keep it to ourselves, to make sure that the blessings that God gives us spills over into other people's lives. And the message of God's love and hope that we so abundantly have can go out to the rest of the world and they can know about God and know about hope. If you'd pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Fox River Christian Church. I thank you for the impact that they've made as a corporate group and as individual people who have come to visit in Africa and the other places where they go on missions trip. I thank you for the medical teams that have come and the teams that have come to work with the children in our schools and just for the mighty things that have already taken place. But we know that you are not finished yet. And we ask that today many would be inspired to go on a missions trip. They'd be inspired to give towards the offering that helps provide the schools for these children. That they'd help provide for one child by doing a sponsorship to make sure that child gets the food and the education and the medical attention that they need. God, we just thank you for letting us be agents of hope. We praise your holy name. Amen.